The first reading is from the book of Jonah, the third chapter. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "Is it better for me to die than to live?" But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city, in which there were more than 120,000 persons who did not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Second reading is from Psalm 145. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundance, of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So this morning we actually have two parables. The parable that I just read from the Gospel of Matthew, and then we also heard a section from the book of Jonah, and the whole book of Jonah is really a parable. The whole book is only four chapters long, and it's this little teaching story that's full of ridiculousness and humor in order to teach. And in that story, God calls the prophet Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh. And Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and they were the bad guys, right? Not only was Assyria the political enemy of Israel, but they were known for their violence and their cruelty and just atrocious acts during war. So understandably, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. And instead, he hightails it out of there. He catches the first boat headed to Tarshish in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He wants to get as far from that place as possible. And then we get to the part of the story that most people know, right? The boat hits stormy waters, Jonah gets thrown overboard and is swallowed by a whale or a giant fish, right? And while he's inside the fish, Jonah pleads and prays to God, begging for mercy, for God to save him. And God does. God mercifully has the giant fish vomit Jonah up onto the beach, right where he started. And that image never makes it into the picture books. You know, Jonah standing there dripping with goo on the beach. But that's what happens in the story. And God once again tells him, as I was saying, I need you to go to Nineveh. And so Jonah goes to this horrible, violent city, and he proclaims the message of God, saying, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was the warning that God sent for Nineveh. But Jonah didn't work too hard to get the message across. Nineveh was this huge city. It says it takes 3 days to walk across, and Jonah walked a day in and said the message one time, and then he left, which normally prophets will make a spectacle of themselves to get attention, to try and get their message to as many people as possible, but not Jonah. He kind of just mumbles it once and then leaves. Barely did what God asked him to do, just the bare minimum. And then, much to Jonah's dismay, the entire city repents. The entire city, all the people, and the animals. Even the animals wore sackcloths to symbolize their repentance. Again, ridiculous story to make a point. The entire city turns from their evil and their violent ways, and God shows mercy and spares the city of Nineveh and everyone who lives there. Which is a happy ending, right? Everybody wins. Except Jonah doesn't think so. Jonah is angry. He leaves the city and goes out into the wilderness and pouts. There's no other way to put it. He pouts. And there's this whole thing where a plant grows and gives him shade, which he's super excited about, and then it dies and he's really mad about it. And God says, you're mad that I let this plant die, but you want me to kill off an entire city? Seriously? That's a paraphrase. Okay. But my favorite line in the whole story is right after God has spared Nineveh. And Jonah cries out to God, explaining why he's so upset. And he quotes the psalm, but the tone is different. If we hear the context, Jonah said to God, this is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. See, the tone makes all the difference. This is what Jonah is upset about. This is why he didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. Jonah is furious at God for being gracious and merciful and forgiving to a bunch of people who didn't deserve it. Remember, Nineveh had done horrible things. So Jonah, the book of Jonah, is not just a weird story about a big fish. The book of Jonah asks us to wrestle with the discomfort of God's mercy. If we're honest with ourselves, we all have limits to who we think is worthy of forgiveness. Think about that for a moment. Who do we think does not deserve forgiveness? Who is it that we feel uncomfortable or even angry at the idea of God forgiving? Because deep down, if we're honest, we're all uncomfortable with how completely free and radically inclusive God's love and forgiveness is, how much bigger it is than our own, which is something that today's gospel points to as well. The parable of Jonah fits so perfectly with the parable from our gospel reading this morning, where the story of the landowner that we heard from Kelsey, who goes out 5 times to hire workers for his vineyard. He goes out first thing in the morning and hires a group, and they agree on a daily wage of 1 denarius. He goes out later and hires a group, promising them a fair wage, and then goes out 2 more times, making that same promise. And then 1 last time at the very end of the workday. And presumably the people who are still there at the end of the day, the day laborers hoping to find work, the ones who are still there by the end of the day are probably the weakest, the oldest, the least desirable laborers. And the landowner hires them with no mention of pay. And then at the end of the day, when it's time to get paid, the last workers are called in first. Matthew loves that theme of the last will be first and the first will be last, so he's not subtle here. The last workers are called in first, and they're paid 1 denarius, standard wage for the day. And then the next to last group paid the same, and the next, until we get to those full day laborers, the ones who agreed to be paid 1 denarius, but now they're expecting more. Because not only did they work more hours, but they were the first round draft picks, right? So when they get paid 1 denarius, now they're miffed. They're angry. But they don't complain that their pay was an unfair wage. Their complaint is that the landowner has made these last ones, these less deserving ones, equal to them. You made them equal to us. That is their complaint. Imagine for a minute how that would feel to be those first workers, having been picked first, having worked so hard all day, and then finding yourself paid the same as the ones who worked only an hour. Imagine that. And then how would it feel to be those last workers? Not sure if you would be allowed to work that day at all, worried about supporting your family, and then to be surprised with a full day's wage for such a small amount of work. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." The kingdom of heaven does not play by our rules, does not adhere to our values. When it comes to God's love and mercy, No one is given what they deserve. The gift of God's love and forgiveness isn't earned at all. It's not merit-based. In fact, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. We're already loved. And this free gift is given even to those we don't think deserve it. The first workers are mad that the landowner made the last workers equal to them. Jonah is mad that God showed mercy to Nineveh, the same mercy that God had already shown Jonah. You can see why the lectionary put these two stories together. They both highlight the audacity of God's grace and mercy, the shocking and offensive nature of how generous God is with love and mercy and forgiveness, how uncomfortable it makes us. And they both highlight that human tendency to want mercy for ourselves, but not always for others. But the good news is that God extends love and mercy and forgiveness to all people, even people we don't think deserve it, and even when we don't deserve it. The good news is that God's forgiveness and love is given freely and abundantly, not based on our merit, but on God's unending goodness and mercy. And the good news is that God does not give up on us. God did not give up on the bad people of Nineveh. God did not give up on Jonah. And God does not give up on us. The good news is that we are completely loved, completely forgiven. Despite our inability to love as we are called to love and our unwillingness to forgive as we have been forgiven, despite all of that, we are forgiven. We are loved. And we are surrounded by God's abundant grace and mercy again and again and again. God's love is a completely free gift that God never stops giving to us and to all the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.